So back in 2007, I heard there's this new song by the Foo Fighters called The Pretender. Now, knowing Dave Grohl's love of classic rock, you know, he's remade, what, Baker Street and, you know, these different things. I just assumed this is a remake of the Jackson Browne song from 1976. So I was excited to kind of hear what the Foo Fighters were going to do with a Jackson Browne song. And so finally it came on. And I'm going, after like a few seconds, I was like, I don't think this is the Jackson Browne song. So I didn't really understand why Dave Grohl would call this song The Pretender. He has to know who Jackson Browne is. He has to know what this song is, okay? So it's just kind of confusing. And the Foo Fighters song is a great song in its own right, but I just can't help but thinking that maybe Grohl, out of respect, maybe should have not called it that. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much about it. But that's what we do here on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We take utterly silly topics and talk to you like them. To you like they're really, really important. So, in other words, so what we're going to do is we're going to call these things musical homonyms. These are the songs, or different songs, but they have the same name. So we're going to count down a bunch of them tonight and have a good time with you guys. So stick around. The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus starts. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Welcome back, moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Good start.
Oh, man.
Good start.
Pittsburgh, Kevin, that was not the right sound effect. I told you not to play that one whenever I announce the podcast.
Sorry.
Scolded.
Oh,
right on the air.
Goodness gracious.
You will go into perhaps some kind of punishment later, Kevin.
Perhaps I should be corrected, Mr. Torrance.
But I corrected them.
My wife and daughters didn't like the overlook at first.
But I
corrected them. But then I corrected them, sir.
Maybe a good talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit more.
If you don't mind my saying, no, you are the caretaker here, sir. You've always been the caretaker here. You know why he knows that? Because he's always been there. That dude was there for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll
Circus. How many white guys do you know named Grady?
Exactly. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus sidetrack there into The Shining. I hope that you guys enjoyed that little bit of banter because it's all you're getting tonight because it's going to be a serious podcast for once.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, see, that would be the perfect time to play. Anyways, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com or lulombardimusic.com. It's a great way to get in on some cool stuff we have going on. We've got a private Facebook group. We do all kind of giveaways and fun stuff, so check it out. Ludinirockandrollcircus.com, lulombardimusic.com. And this next sponsor I want to talk about, it also happens to be his birthday today. Can you believe this shit?
Can you really, really believe it's someone's birthday today? This is ridiculous.
Let alone the one and only, the magnificent, the most awesome, His Excellency, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. We love you, brother. Thank you so much. And speaking of Chris Thunderwolf Dodson, you want to check out his website, wolfscustoms.online. They do amazing custom painting on musical instruments, things like that, music-related things. And they have tons of different designs and different stuff they can do. Hollow Flash is one of them. But if you go to wolfscustoms.online, you can see some samples. Tell them Ludini sent you. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com, download the app, and you can listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7 free of charge, as they say. Speaking of Rock Rage Radio, we have the full band in the house.
Hold on here, Lou. Can I say something?
No.
I want to say happy birthday to Chris. Chris, happy birthday. Would you like a popsicle?
Oh my God. He's 48.
Who's that? That's Ali.
We're having problems. Technical difficulties, everybody.
Please stand.
stand by.
Anyway.
So we have Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. What's up, Rock Rage Radio, Lily?
What's up? So I was super disappointed when the Apathy Brothers canceled this week, so I will not be going to that. However, I did have my own show on Saturday with some great local bands and some out-of-town bands as well, and it was super fun. So next time I have one of those, come on out, October.
Well, these things happen, you know. Mm-hmm. Sound men have strokes, you know.
Oh no!
It happens. It happens. Right. I had somebody die at a gig once, you know. So
tragic.
So it happens. It happens. Keith, you ever play a gig where somebody died at the gig?
Yeah, me. Right, they pulled me. They pulled me back in with the jaws of life.
Every time I played Wipeout
for 7 minutes straight, and I killed over.
So we have Keith the Hawk Hawkins back with us. What's up, Mr. Hawk?
Yes, hello. How are you?
And you've survived. You've been to the great wilds, the jungles of
New Orleans. I got a t-shirt that says I survived the Cat 4 hurricane. There will be no Cat 5 in my life.
No.
Really?
Because if there ever comes one of those, I'm get out of Dodge.
No.
All I do is Dodge. I already got the plan and everything. You just strap a drum to a dog's back and we go up the street.
Okay.
Like your drums on one of those sticks with the packs and everything.
It's like a hobo pack,
yeah,
but with a snare drum in it.
That's what I was getting at.
Oh, it's a hobo pack with a snare drum in
it. Yeah.
It's like, get a little heavy there, brother.
There you go.
He ain't heavy, he's my snare pack.
Probably some bologna and maybe some cheese. Mm. I mean, that's what I would assume is a lot of... What the fuck is that?
We ask that every week.
We don't really know what's happening, Keith. Since you've been gone.
I miss a little bit, and then everything just goes to shit. I don't know what's going on here.
There's two of them right there. So tonight's topic is musical homonyms. And I said, since you've been gone, and he's saying, I was thinking about the Rainbow song, and you sang the Kelly Clarkson since you've been gone.
Yeah.
So it's all coming around full circle. So that's a great lead in, Pittsburgh Kevin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So Pittsburgh Kevin is with us as well. Yeah. He's wearing his Irish t-shirt that's done like an AC/DC logo. Yeah, it's very, very cool. Very, very cool. Yes. So that is tonight's topic. You know, these songs that are really famous. And then you go like, couldn't you think of a different name? Mm-hmm. Like, just couldn't you?
No. Don't really think you can, you know, you can't really trademark titles like that.
No,
you know?
Can't.
It's just,
you
it
can't.
Is what it is. Mm. I don't think you can do it, Lou. I'm sorry to burst your bubble there, but the show must go on.
You can't, but then, like, there's all, then we have all these problems. We're going to tell you, this is a serious issue.
I'm suing you.
Because I could be sitting here talking about, you know, the song Money and how much I love it and everything, and I'm talking about the Pink Floyd song, and Kevin is talking about the Beatles song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's like a problem. That's the way you have to say,
like, hey, this is Money by Pink Floyd.
Okay, you gotta throw them in.
Too many words.
That's too many words. I'm like into the whole brevity thing, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, me too. I almost also drink my White Russian with Cremora, you know, but hey.
Drastic times, drastic measures.
Wow. It's so funny you said that because a couple weeks ago I was hankering for a White Russian and I didn't have any like actual cream. Mm-hmm. No jokes, please. And I was looking at that can of Carnation or Cream or whatever, mm-hmm. and going like, what? No, I'm not doing that.
You'll do it when you're too desperate.
Yeah.
I found something else to drink.
He had water.
I think I had a Moscow Mule, but that's the topic for today. And I don't really know. There is no law, right? I didn't come across any kind of law or ordinance or whatever that says you're not allowed to do this.
No.
And I didn't see anywhere anybody's been like. I mean, I guess if I wrote a song called "Stairway to Heaven,"
right. there might be
a little bit of a flap about something so in your face, but. There's really nothing to say about it.
Didn't somebody have a song called Stairway to Heaven before Zeppelin did? I think it was like a pop singer, Paul Anka, or somebody did. You could research that one.
That could be. So even there, or Freebird, or whatever. So what do we have? Lily, do you want to – we always start with Lily.
Do you want to start with me?
Yeah, because like –
All right, well, I was going to research, but go ahead. We'll look that up later. All right, so my first one is Power of Love.
Power of Love.
That's the one I thought of immediately. Was Huey Lewis in the News from the Back to the Future soundtrack. The other one is Frankie Goes to Hollywood from Welcome to the Pleasure Dome in 1984, which came first. And then the Jennifer Rush song that Celine Dion covered later. We all know which song that is, right? Huh. The whole super geeky love song. But that was also 1984. But Frankie Goes to Hollywood was still first.
That's so crazy. Huh.
Yeah, so that has three. Probably more, but those are the three I found.
There's some with way too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you one that has way too many right now.
Do it.
Lady.
Oh, yeah, that one had
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, listen.
Here we go.
Okay. It can be a proper name or a royal title. Most often it's just a swanky way of saying woman. Each of these three biggest lady hits explores and expands on their own definitions of the term. So there's the Styx lady. Firmly plated in progressive rock, Styx turns Lady into a soaring love song worthy of the genre's complexities. The way out leaps in unexpected directions. The hard-pounding crescendo really hammers home how deeply singer Dennis DeYoung digs his Lady of the Morning, for whom he's wailing. Mm. And then there's Kenny Rogers. Commodore's frontman Lionel Richie befriended country's crooner Kenny Rogers in the 70s, and the two have worked together in various capacities ever since. Their first collaboration was Lady, a mammoth hit for Rogers that was written and produced by Richie. Number one simultaneously on Billboard's four biggest charts, the 100, country, adult contemporary, and that was when the top black singles, that was a top black singles tune. So not bad. For this song went everywhere. And after receiving a monster hit from the song "Lady," okay, Lionel Richie, he did almost the same song with the Commodores in the form of an upbeat dance number called "Lady," which is sometimes listed as "Lady You Bring Me Up," but it's really just called "Lady." So he kind of like takes the cake. He's got two different songs by the same guy. It's like kind of confusing.
So it's he wins.
Kissing cousins here. But wait a minute. We're not done.
There's
right,
more.
Kevin?
But wait.
There's more.
Would you like to know more?
Please.
There is Lady by Little River Band.
Yes.
I mean,
LRB,
it's just like.
Crazy.
How many ladies do we need?
All the ladies.
Really? All the ladies all the time.
All the money,
all the cars, all the women.
All the ladies.
All the time.
All the ladies.
All the ladies.
That's no lady. That's Lady by Styx.
you forgot one.
Talk to your mummy. That's a man, one. Baby.
Which one? The one by Jerry Lewis.
Lady.
Oh, my gosh.
Comedy's not
pretty. I love Jerry Lewis, though. So that's cool.
Okay, all right. That definitely deserves this.
There you go. It's all coming together, folks.
If you want to know, I did a little research, and the title "I Want You" is done by like 7,539 bands, and I would now ramble them off to you. Ready?
Go for it.
Number one,
The Beatles, "Savage Garden," Marvin Gaye, and that's about it. But that's the one most used. If you go on the interwebs and Google some, what's the most used title of a song, and it says "I Want You."
I want you.
Wow. Not sexual healing. Not In and God.
Nah,
that'd be great. There's two In and God
Vidas,
and they weren't sexual.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just talking to Pittsburgh Kevin, and I think we should start a project, Keith, where we write songs that have the same title, but that are real oddballs, like In and God of Vida. So we'll write the next In and God of Vida, but it sounds nothing like In and God.
That should be fun.
Like a polka.
It'll be something completely different. And now for something completely different.
Joe Freeman did some research for us. In the 40s, the first song called "Stairway to Heaven" appears to have been penned by none other than Neil Sedaka.
There you go.
Neil Sedaka, Paul Anka, whoever.
Close enough. Close
enough.
Same day.
It's the same thing. Close your eyes. Sanka. Who knows? Bobby Benton crying there too.
Sanka.
Thank you, Joe, for looking that
Do
up for me.
Do you know why, to this day,
yes.
when you go to like any place in the United States
yes.
and you want a decaf, it has an orange handle?
Yeah.
Because of Sanka.
Oh.
The very
really?
First
I didn't realize that.
Coffee.
I did not know that.
And to this day, it's become universal. The orange thing is the decaf.
Huh. The more you know.
I think you should do a podcast on take songs that have a question in it in their title and then make up your own answer. Like, well,
we're going to do some sort of controversial podcast with stuff like that.
What do you mean going to do?
But so who's next?
Keith.
I don't know.
Killing Nick. Keith. Me?
You talking to me?
You've been on a while. What do you got?
I got crazy, which is a lot more than I really want to go on about, but let's just do two that are probably more well known, and these are worlds apart and stylistically, but we got Crazy by Patsy Cline,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is old school country at its finest, and then we have Gnarls Barkley, if you remember them.
Yeah,
which
I remember
Green,
that
sort
song.
Of you know, little whatever before he was CeeLo Green. I think he was Gnarls Barkley, or somebody else might have been involved too, but who knows. And then he started, like, just being weird, and who knows what happened.
How many edibles did you have today?
That was a workout song for me.
Brownies.
You make me crazy. You guys do that song, right?
Does Orlando sing that? We just use a different, like, a more syncopated rhythm. It's kind of just, but it's the same, like, it's more rocked out, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll say.
That's cool. We did in Strange Love, too. I love that song. I fell in love when I first heard it. Yeah, so Crazy by, there's got to be other Crazies.
Sure there is.
I'm
when
sure.
I look in your eyes. I go crazy.
I go crazy.
Yeah. So that's all you got? Really? Wow.
Well, I mean, that was two. I don't want to, like, you know, spend too much time on one. I mean, some of these are, like, it's just, they go on and on and on. But, I mean, that's, I'll try to not be too obscure with it either. I mean, at least people know those songs, hopefully. I mean, they're probably a crazy by, you know, some garage band somewhere with teenagers in it, if you want to go, you know, research it. That's probably a killer too, but I mean, that's probably something that's not really known yet. We're waiting for the next generation of rock stars to come out, and they're writing crazy as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Like right this second.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. There is seven iconic songs with the word crazy in it. You Drive Me Crazy by Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Crazy in Love. Mm-hmm. Is Everybody Crazy by Nothing But Thieves. Mm. Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen. Yeah.
What about Let's Go Crazy?
Crazy For You by Mad Donna.
Crazy Train.
I'm Gonna Show You Crazy.
Yeah.
And Let's Go Crazy for some reason is not on this really stupid list.
Blasphemy.
It is.
This list sucks.
Well, it's obviously written by somebody.
In the history
know.
Of lists, this is the worst list that has ever been listed.
You should have put that list and just listed it somewhere else.
Keeps playing that sad trumpet.
Terrible list. Terrible.
We have a trumpet player tonight. Bones Magoo.
God.
And he's sitting in with us tonight on the Ladini Rock and Roll Circus.
Lovely.
Live trumpet, Keith.
Bill McGroin.
Live trumpet, I'm telling you. Come on, Bones. Play him something good. Sweet.
He doesn't like us
Bones.
Tonight.
Do you know anything else? You work on something. We'll come back to you.
Could you do something from Conda Blue?
So we got Lily.
Hey.
I thought you did. You've been talking all night.
But he hasn't contributed.
He hasn't said anything. That's what you were going to say. He's been talking, but he hasn't said anything. What do you got? Wolfscustoms.online. Happy birthday, Chris Underwolf.
Happy
we love you.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Happy birthday, man. 40, what?
Eight.
What is it? Eight? Whoa,
and he announced it
my league,
before everybody yells at me.
Yeah.
So what do you got, Pittsburgh?
I remember when I was 48.
You still have your teeth, though, so come on.
I do it. I do. All right, so my first contribution, I got to admit, it's bad.
Okay, go for it.
It's bad.
It is bad.
Oh,
Lily, I got you.
You did get me.
So I got two for bad. Bad, of course, Michael Jackson.
Magic.
King of Pop.
It was released September 7th, 1987.
I was six.
You were six?
Yes.
Oh my. From his also the album was called Bad, produced by Quincy Jones.
Of course.
That's right.
Not a fan.
That's right.
What? Not a fan? But all right, it's enough of that. Who cares? Get some Michael Jackson. Who cares? Now let's get to the real bad. The real bad. The boys from Dublin. U2. Hey Lou.
That song has two chords.
Lou.
What?
Yeah, that's a killer song, though, man.
So, but it has two chords.
So, Lou.
I could give a shit if it had no chords. It's still just a good song. I don't go counting effing chords in songs, man. It is what it is. And, like, you know, some of the best songs ever written, but, like, less than four chords. Come on. You know this shit.
But not less than two.
Don't act like you don't.
I think Keith thinks that song is bad.
Zing.
Hey, Lou there. Hey, Lou. Yeah. The Edge and Bono walk into a bar, you know, and bartender looks at him and goes, oh, no. Not you two again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here all night.
Hey, Bones, what do you think about that joke Kevin just did there?
I'm having to go over. I got the drums right here. I'm going to go over and do it. Yeah.
Keith needs to set up a snare.
I think Bones and Keith should jam because they're both into jazz.
There you go.
That's right.
Hey, Bones, listen to me, brother. Listen to me. Play me like the hottest bebop lick you can play. Like, you ready? You got something good? Okay, let's hear it. Awesome. Dude, you rock. I love this guy.
We need to have you on every week. He's very versatile, man. I mean, he really got some different licks together.
Man, such feeling.
Bones Magoo, everybody. Bones Magoo. Stick around. There's going to be more Bones Magoo coming up. What do you got, Lily V6?
Jump.
Oh. For my love.
Well, jumping. Anyway, Van Halen.
Van Halen. Officer Van Halen.
Is the one I think of. I don't know everybody else, but that's from the 1984 album. In 1983, actually. Do you want me to do a background or not?
Yeah,
okay. VH1.
We've only been on like 6 minutes. So
okay,
we're
gosh.
Like,
we have a lot of time to film. Van Halen's 1984 pop breakthrough initially courted controversy by showcasing Eddie Van Halen's. I know, I'm thinking dirty. Van Halen's skill with a synthesizer keyboard front and center instead of his signature guitar. On immediate impact, though, Jump has its clown around but still hard rocking music video. It proved utterly irresistible. Everybody loved it. In one of Van Halen's most successful songs, reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, the song differs from earlier Van Halen songs and it is driven by a keyboard line, although the song does contain guitar solo. David Lee Roth dedicated the song to martial arts Benny the Jet Urquidez, who he was a student of. And the next version of Jump is by the Pointer Sisters from the album Breakout in 1983. Their song is simply titled Jump, but for its single release in 84, the Pointer Sisters added a, in parentheses, For My Love, not to compete with Van Halen's version of the song, so they did add something to it later. The video featured athletes in various sports rocketing themselves foot first to various victories and timed as the song was with the 1984 Summer Olympics that worked with it. And the third one is this awful, awful song that I used to dance to at middle school.
Oh, I know who this is.
Don't you blast from that song, because them kids... I'll tell you what.
It's Criss Cross.
Criss Cross, okay.
From Totally Crossed Out, 1992. Every single middle school dance, we were all dancing to it. They were 12. 12 and 13 years old. So
nice.
They wore backward clothes. You can still hear these songs at 90s nights if you go to, like, Belvedere's and stuff. But it did have international success, topping the charts in Switzerland, Australia, and the United States. It was the third best-selling song in the United States in 1992 with sales of 2,079,000 physical copies.
That's million with an M, Pittsburgh, Kevin.
That year. So, yes, those are my three for Jump.
Can I sort of correct something, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
About the Van Halen thing?
Yeah.
That is not, though, their first big song that featured keyboards.
I don't think I said it was their first.
You said it was different than their other songs in the fact that it featured keyboards. So okay. You didn't write that. I get that. You didn't copy. That's cool. But I'm just saying, because most people think that the first song, and a lot of people do not realize this.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lou. I'm listening.
The Cradle Will Rock. Mm-hmm. All that rhythm guitar, that's a Krumar electric piano played through a Marshall stack.
Really?
Nerd.
Did not know that.
Dun, 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 dun. That's, oh, yep. Wow. Yeah, really listen to it. Really, really listen to it. He's playing it through his rig. That's what he's, you know. Huh. But that's people did not realize that was a keyboard.
Huh.
That's really, really interesting, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
It is gum being serious.
He's
trying. I never knew that.
I knew he was going to do it.
Trying.
I mean, I had, you know, two other choices. That was either, you know, to find that out or just go on living my life. But that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good. It's pretty good little factoid there, Lou.
Aha!
I should just come here drunk. Maybe that would help.
We do, by the way, no alcoholic beverages are actually consumed. This is all, these are props.
It's a ruse.
That's iced tea.
Exactly.
Yeah. With alcohol.
It's iced tea, just with slightly spiked. That's all. That's all good.
Yeah, that's all.
With moonshine.
Yeah. Oh, man, we need to break the moonshine out.
I have moonshine from Virginia at my house.
I have moonshine that you gave me last year.
This is worse.
You gave me, oh, that Beth gave
it
me.
It might be
year.
Fermented by now.
This is made in someone's still okay. In their backyard.
Oh, Lord.
Not at a factory.
Yikes. Wow. How about this one? Oh, there's a million of these.
Yeah, there's a million
Fire.
Of that one. I didn't even write that one down because I didn't feel like writing all the ones down.
Right.
Okay, there's the Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm. Which is the one I would immediately think of.
At least in 1967, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. One of the earliest and most blazing examples of, you know, what Hendrix could really do on the guitar. Mm-hmm. Okay, Fire by the Crazy World of Arthur Brown. English occult
I don't
provocateur
know him.
Arthur Brown beat both Alice Cooper and Kiss to combining hot and heavy hard rock with scary black and white face paint. I am the God of Hellfire, Brown announces at the beginning of his signature anthem, and I bring you fire! And there is a really cool documentary. It's a three-part documentary on YouTube from the BBC. I believe it's the BBC. It may not be. I'm not sure. Don't hold me that, but it's on YouTube about the foundations of heavy metal, and they spend some good amount of time talking about Arthur Brown. It's very, very interesting, and he's definitely somebody that, like, people don't know about should check out. Fire by the Ohio Players.
Yeah.
Funk Masters, yep. The Ohio Players burn down any joint, anywhere, anytime, and this booty-shaking inferno gets cranked up and played loud, preferably as loud as a five-alarm siren. Okay? Fire! Fire, soul siblings, Pointer Sisters truly smolder on this cover of a pressure cooking song that Bruce Springsteen originally composed for Elvis Presley. Tragically, the King died before he had a chance to hear the demo. With stop and start intensity, the Pointer Sisters turned Fire into an all-out inferno. And I remember, and there was all kind of great parodies on the radio and stuff of this song. Here's the one with Elmer Fudd.
Yes.
Yeah, like that.
Was that Robin Williams doing that?
Yeah.
I think it was, maybe. Yeah.
And then there was, a roller skater
Nurse.
To the song. You know?
Of course, yeah.
Nurse.
Over roller skate.
But,
what?
Nurse.
Springsteen
Hold
didn't.
On. I'm trying to call a waitress, but she's not coming.
Nurse.
I'm never going to buy this chick roller skates again. God damn it. She doesn't even use them. Nurse.
That'd be hilarious if Keith bought Samantha roller skates and she kind of looks at me and goes, well, this is just so you can get me my drinks faster.
Mm-hmm. Roller skates will be in his ass.
They get away. They get away small. Man, my glass has been empty for at least 5 minutes now.
Oh,
well, I tell you, we're going to take a little break. Keith, go get yourself a drink. Lily, who's watching and what's going on?
Well, we have Chris Thunderwolf and Raven watching, of course.
Happy birthday again, my brother.
Joe Freeman, as I've said before, they played Jump at the skate rink all the time, apparently.
Yes, they did.
And my mom, Tracy Sampson, is watching tonight.
Tracy.
I don't know if she's at my house yet, but we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. These are musical homonyms. They are songs that have the same name, but are not the same song, like, at all.
I'm calling you in there.
What?
I'm calling you.
Nurse.
Because I said nurse. That's your name.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
All the feminists are going to start calling
drink.
In.
This is some bullshit.
I think this is a good time for...
Some bones?
Some bones. That's sweet, man. That's really sweet. Do that again.
Today we're doing
Bones Magoo, everybody. Bones Magoo.
Bones Magoo.
Today we're doing the Doers because it was on sale.
But, so what do you think of Bones?
Could you please?
Well, that's not very nice.
Thank you.
What about you?
Hooray!
it's there much better. What about you?
Boo!
No, it's not nice.
He's drunk.
Our audience is terrible. What do you think about him?
You're killing me!
Oh, my God, you guys are assholes.
Well, they're drunk.
Boo!
They're drunk. Yeah, they're
killing
drunk.
Me!
Yippee!
All right, finally, somebody stays.
That sounded like a three-year-old, just saying. I don't even know why that's here.
We have a three-year-old running around the studio. When you were kicking my leg before, I thought it was my cat.
I know, I'm sorry.
Cat, get down here.
I didn't mean to kick your
kicking
leg.
Kicking or caressing?
Oh. Playing footsie.
Footsies.
Is that the little thing?
Footsies.
I don't know.
Thank you very much!
We're just going to play sound effects for a while and let you guys relax.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so who's next?
I just did mine.
I think Keith is.
Oh, Keith can't go. Keith is busy. Keith, can you talk? Can we bother
man.
You to be on a podcast for a minute, please? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm you know, I'm wide awake and I'm ready to do my thing.
All right, so what do you got?
Pick it.
Are you talking to me? Hold on a second. How about sober?
Thank you.
Something that's got to... Something, you know, I've got to stay away from, but Sober by Tool was probably the one that all the metalheads know out there from their, I think, probably 1993 album, Undertow. Had a great video. You don't see the band in it. That was their kind of their thing. And it's a great song. One of their more commercial successes. And then you go into a more, I guess, say modern day kind of version of Sober, which would be by Pink. So that's one I know.
Ah, yes.
So there's two for you right there.
I know that.
I don't know what else. I don't know enough about Pink that other than it's a color and a singer. That's you know, that's pretty much
all
I know.
Did you say it's a color?
I don't know what
singer.
Album it's off of. I mean, it's got a, you know, got a hooky groove to it, you know. So that's, but like I said, definitely two different ones.
I don't even know why I'm in this room.
Somebody probably farted so or something.
I did a major, whatever, just let it go.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker.
I did an Archie Bunker. I just did an Archie Bunker.
Yeah, you did.
So I'm the Archie Bunker of rock and roll.
That's what you are, sir. Right, you are, sir.
Lily!
Oh, my God, no.
Stifle!
That's enough of that, because I will literally kill you. I will shove this thing.
I need that to open my bottle.
You'll find another one.
The thing. You should see this thing she's holding up, everybody. It's huge.
Actually, it's not.
Like a baby arm holding an apple.
It's a bottle opener.
That's what you want to call it.
It's a butthole opener.
Oh, well.
Stifle!
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Keith, you there?
He's had enough of us already.
I'm here.
I got photographed.
Damn it all to hell.
Come on, meathead.
I'm sorry, was that yours?
It was mine, but go ahead.
Okay. Next.
Go ahead. You go next.
Why do you forget about me?
Oh, because you're in the corner.
How many don't you forget of me?
I think there's only one. Okay. I think I forgot about it. All right. Oh, my gosh. All right, so I'm going to go with Gloria.
Oh, my God.
Wait, it's like All in the Family.
I'm leaving.
My
little girl. I mentioned it one time.
Stifle.
My little girl. Oh, jeez. Look at this.
Can you stifle already?
I'm coming drunk next week.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller plays. Anyway, so, all right. So, mine is Gloria. We got the three bands. At least three bands. Oh, I thought you were telling me there was two.
No,
there's three.
Only three?
Only three. That's all. So Gloria is, Van Morrison wrote it with his band Them in 1964. All right, so you got that version. You've got, sorry everybody, U2, Hey Lou, The Edge.
No.
So, thank you, sir. Thank you, Bones. So you got the U2 song, which came out in 1981. And then, of course, you've got...
I was not born yet.
What?
Sorry.
It's on the album October.
It's a good record. You should
check it out if you haven't. Those first three U2 albums are really, like, very, very cool. Like, it's like they were doing a lot with just a little.
Yeah, exactly.
The production was real slim. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I digress.
And the last one I have is, of course, Laura Branigan. Song came out, 82. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. There's
Laura Branigan.
Three.
I saw Laura Branigan live.
What?
Yes, I did. She played at the
At the skate rink.
Skating rink. Tiffany opened for her.
Probably.
It was
her and her and Tiffany at the Pancake Skating World.
It was at the Three Rivers Arts Festival.
Oh, fine.
And the reason I went was because my favorite Pittsburgh band was playing. That's why I went.
Who was it?
B.E. Taylor.
Oh, there you go.
And this would be before B.E. Taylor became like a Christmas song guy. Yeah, like he had rock songs, okay? So if you think, this wasn't Christmas. No. Before that, he was sang great rock and roll. He put out three albums of really good rock tunes. And he was freaking great. But Laura Branigan was like headlining. Wow. So we stayed and listened to some of hers, you know. Because we don't want to make her feel bad. It wasn't like everybody's going to leave, you know.
Right. You're like,
but it's when he had the song Vitamin L. Do you remember the song Vitamin L, Keith?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, that's what that was. That song was that era. So that was a long time ago.
That was probably a DVE staple.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So what do you got, Hawk?
Oh, jeez.
That was your turn, actually.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let me see. I got it. I write too small is my problem. I can't read.
What's that's too small?
Somebody Viagra to love. I'm sorry, what? Somebody to love can be either heard early Jefferson Airplane, Starship, whatever the hell they were called at the moment. Airplane. Grace Slick on lead vocals. And you got one of the great Queen piano rock tunes, Somebody to Love, with the same title, go figure. And that's one of my favorite bands. So that just goes to show you that I have really good taste in my picks, man.
Mm-hmm. You do, man.
Like I said, I told you ahead of time, my backstory shit is short and sweet tonight because, you know, I got things going on. But I'll try to improve my game when I come back next November for my annual podcast appearance. Keith, or whenever that may be.
Keith isn't just the podcaster who tastes good. He's the podcaster with good taste.
There it is.
There you are.
You know what I'm
Hallelujah.
Talking about.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God!
I already got okay. So let's talk about Photograph. As I was starting
there
to,
you go.
When I say Photograph, what's the first song you think of, Lily?
Def Leppard.
Okay, Kevin, what's the first song you think of?
Well, I'm old, so I think of Ringo Starr.
Keith, if I say a song called Photograph, what's the first song you think of?
Nickelback.
Right.
Wow, all three.
Everybody, Nickelback.
I actually did it on purpose because no one said it, and I would rather probably fucking throw up in my hand right now and listen to that fucking song. But
we're going to play it next.
No.
Photograph. Done as
Keith said. Def Leppard, I would think, would be my first choice. To be
okay.
Honest.
No. Well, let's. I'm glad you said that because that you know, but that you were thinking about that because Photograph is by Nickelback. It's and there is an Ed Sheeran.
That's right. I forgot about that. And I like
that. As Pittsburgh Kevin said, the lush, gorgeous, breathtaking, and absolutely spellbinding Ringo co-wrote the pop epic Photograph with fellow ex-Beatle George Harrison on a swanky yacht in the south of France. Excuse me, the south of France.
There you go.
That's you can actually pick up on the lack of luxury sophistication in both the instrumentation and Ringo's witty yet undeniable vocals. Photograph stands as one of the great moments in any of the Fab Four solo outputs, a perfect snapshot of a perfect moment, perfectly preserved forever. If that ain't a mouthful. And then, of course, Def Leppard rode the new wave of British metal to personal and creative crescendo that broke open all over the world with the song Photograph, a huge MTV and rock radio hit. Photograph is an electrifying power pop onslaught that grabs up a musical gauntlet tossed down by the past bubblegum metal pioneers such as Kiss and Sweet, with a background intensity on par with the group's NWOBHM, New Wave of British Heavy Metal. Oh my God, I hate all these acronyms.
NKOTB.
Right, exactly. Such as Samson and Diamondhead. Multi-part chorus, the Photograph alone is a suite of styles that goes from soaring operatic metal to intoxicating glam pop sugar to haunting, unshakable longing. And that's some of the museum quality mastery. That is really Mutt Lange. Really kind of just.
Yeah, like, that's his whole thing.
They didn't even know what they were doing. No. They were like, he was like, okay, what I want you to do is just hit the snare. Okay, we'll call you tomorrow. Thank you. And then, like, he'd be like Phil Collin, like, he said, just play an E chord. Okay, That's good. It's all I need.
Go take a break.
Yeah. Go take a break.
It's Mutt's masterpiece.
And then they would come in like the next day and it would be photographed.
Mm-hmm. How'd this happen?
But yeah, I mean, this photography, right?
Photography
is like a theme. Like we could do a song about. I mean, We could do a podcast about all the songs about photography, like Kodachrome by.
Love that song.
Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, like the idea of taking photographs and pictures and all that stuff. It's like a cultural thing. You know, we love doing it, and like now we walk around with these things.
They take photos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good ones sometimes.
Yeah. It was in that movie I was telling you guys. I rewatched Young Doctors in Love, and somebody said, oh, no, it wasn't that. I was watching a music video from the 80s, and somebody referenced, oh, where's my Instamatic?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a cultural thing. But yeah, photograph. Good choice. All right, bloody hell. All right, Bones. We need a little musical interlude, buddy. You ready? Come on, man. Come on. I want you to play your best cool lick, you know, from the cool jazz era.
Do it.
Keith, listen to this. This is going to be the hottest cool lick you've ever
seen. This is going to be the birth of cool. Go ahead.
This is the birth of cool.
How does he do it?
Oh, my God.
I'm almost feel like though, sometimes it sounds like an episode of The Peanuts when he's talking to the teacher. Not to get it too far ahead of ourselves or off topic here, but how the hell do you understand that, man? I mean, seriously, do you understand what they're saying? I mean, he was just like, yeah, which is typical of a kid, be like, okay, I hear you, but I really don't hear you.
But did you understand your teachers?
Way before his time. They're just mumbling away, and he's like, yes, ma'am. What the hell is she saying to you?
Well, here's the thing. I think that's how a kid, doesn't that how kids hear listen to adults? Yeah.
That's how I listen to adults.
Kids are living in their own world, that's how kids are.
They don't give a shit what you say.
That's literally what it sounds like.
So they need something.
That's how adults sound to me now.
That's how this podcast sounds sometimes now.
Yes, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Oh, Lord, goodness gracious. Anyways, guys, so who's next?
Lily.
Oh, is it me already?
Sweet Lily.
Sweet Lily. This is like bowling. It's already my turn. I have the end next. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 of them.
Wow.
The Doors are the one is the one I thought of first.
That was the first one I would think it was the end.
Yeah. From The Doors in 1967. Lead singer Jim Morrison initially wrote the lyrics about his breakup with his girlfriend Mary Werbelow. I always say that wrong. But it evolved through months of performances at the Whiskey A Go Go into a much longer song. The Doors recorded nearly a 12-minute version for their self-titled debut album, which was released in 67, January 4th. Wasn't even close to being born yet. It had been characterized by a precursor of the gothic rock genre. In a review,
I was 1 month old.
Well, there you go. In a review published in the Williams Record in October 67, John Stickney described the Doors' collation, as gothic rock, which was one of the first pronounces of the term. Most notably, he was more pensive for their contribution to the end. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. The next one is My Chemical Romance. From the Black Parade in 2006. That's not the next one, but that's the next one on my list. The opening track on the Black Parade, the song originally titled Father, is about the final moments of the patient as he dies. The patient is the main character of the album storyline, and the listeners can hear his ECG monitor beeping, counting down towards his death.
It sounds like a happy album.
Right.
I can't wait to listen to that.
The actual next one after The Doors was The Beatles, Abbey Road, 1969.
And in the end...
It was composed by Paul McCartney and credited to Lennon McCartney. It was the last song recorded collectively by all four Beatles and is the final song of the medley that constitutes the majority of side two of the album.
Gross!
Next is Pearl Jam's version. The Eddie Vedder pen ballad about an unknown future was premiered by the Pearl Jam frontman during his solo tour from the album Black Spacer in 2009. Vedder told the Toronto Globe and Mail that the part of this aching love song was inspired by a phone message. He explained, I got a phone call from a friend from Spain. I couldn't pick up the phone because I was recording the guitar part. I had written half the song's lyrics. When I checked his message, he said, he had said something that enabled me to write the second verse in 20 minutes, and it was done. And the last version is Kings of Leon, Come Around, Sundown, is the album from 2010. This looping, distorted ballad about failing to live up to the expectations romantically is the opening track. Caleb Followill explained that the music, he's the front man, explained to the Music Fix why the band decided to include the track titled The End as the first track on the record. While starting the record off with The End, I mean, it's definitely one of those songs that comes in one piece at a time.
I have a sense of irony.
Yes. So those are the five versions of The End.
Yeah!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And there it is. Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Woohoo! Okay. So, I did not realize there was that many of The Ends.
Wow, see?
A lot.
There's like a lot of ends, man.
All the ends.
Do the ends justify the means?
Oh, my God.
Is it Pittsburgh Kevin's turn?
I have no idea.
It can be.
I can go next. Ow. I can go next if you want. All right. So next one here is Holiday.
Holiday.
I got that one.
Do you have that one?
I got that one. Go ahead.
Well, in case I miss, I only have three.
That's all I got.
All right.
No, four. I have four.
Oh, so you can back me up.
Yes.
Wow, you all right? Bones, you okay? Oh my gosh! All right, so first, yikes! First of the holidays is Green Day, the album American Idiot, 2004. Yes. So let's take a look at some more here. What? Oh, you all right there? Okay. The next one is what will you do? Whoa! What will you okay?
He's farting in my general direction.
I was gonna say.
What are you doing? Right there?
My God. Next holiday is from the Scorpions.
Yes.
Album Love Drive from 1979. Hey, Lily, how old were you in 1979?
Wasn't even thought of. My mom just graduated high school.
It was 20 years ago today.
And the next one I'm just going to mention.
You think the King Biscuit Flower Hour should hire us? I think so.
No.
What? No?
You don't even know what that is.
Yes, I know. I've heard of it before. Yes.
I thought for sure Lily would not get that reference.
Last one's just an honorable mention, Madonna, 1983.
Well, also Bee Gees' album had a song on there. It's called Bee Gees First, 1967. So that's the other holiday.
There you go.
Yes.
Wow. A quadfectra.
High five.
Quadfecta.
Quadrophenia?
Quadrophenia.
Okay. Okay.
All right then. Yeah,
all right then, if you say so. I mean, like, I don't really know what you're doing.
Oh, boy.
You're right there.
Yeah.
I hate you guys.
No, I don't think you do.
It only means I love you.
I don't think you do. I think you love us.
I don't even know what that was, but okay.
So,
I'm a scared.
What do you got? Any more you want to talk about?
One.
There it is.
That's on my list, too.
I heard it's the loneliest number.
It is the loneliest number you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can be a Metallica song of the same name.
Whoa,
it can be a U2. It could be a U2 song. It could be a Bee Gees song, for God's sake.
All
we were just speaking about them.
Wow.
And these songs have nothing in common, so I have nothing on them. But yes, one's probably for the metalheads out there from the Injustice for All album and all the controversial video that went with it. And that's one of the big Metallica songs of all time. One by U2, still just a good straight-ahead pop song. I think it's a very well-written song, and Three Dog Night, everybody knows, is probably, still bores the shit out of people on AM radio somewhere, and the Bee Gees song I'm really not that familiar with, so and I'm sure there's plenty more, but those are the ones I think that I can, say that at least someone somewhere has heard before.
Knows what you're talking about.
Right.
So that's a good thing, because like I said, I try to remove the obscure.
Good ones, guys. Good ones. This was a really kind of stupid topic. Really wasn't much we could do with it.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, we did.
We did a lot of things.
It's like, I feel like it was kind of like a big nothing. Happy birthday one more time to Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. wolfscustoms.online. Go to rockrageradio.com and download the app. LouLombardiMusic.com and LoudiniRockAndRollCircus.com as well. So does anybody want to add anything before we get into this day in music?
Nope.
No. Yeah, me. Can I go? Can I talk? I want to really give a shout out not only to Happy Birthday, Wolf, but on a serious note, I did get a call yesterday from our biggest fan of all time, next to the Wolf, of course, is Billy Altman. Called me yesterday and he hit his head and he had a concussion, he said.
Aww.
And I told him to probably go get checked out, but then he said he had a headache and I'm sure, you know, some sensitivity to light, but he said he wasn't really feeling that well with nausea. He was actually making a lot of sense, which makes me think he probably did really have a concussion, because that's what makes sense to me. The fact where he usually talks out of his ass and makes no fucking sense. Yesterday he was actually making sense, so there's probably is something wrong with him. So Billy, if you're watching this, get better, man. Get well. And then go to bed.
He should already be in bed if he's not well.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a concussion, take it easy, Hoss. That's what I told him.
What do you hate? Hey, wait a minute, guys. Bones wants to say something to Billy Altman. What do you want to say? What do you want to say, Bones?
Awesome.
That's just for you, Billy. That's just for
Billy.
You.
Bones said, go to bed, and that was his, I translated it, and that says, in musical terminology, wait a minute, go to bed. That's it, man. That's a wrap. Unless you want me to...
That's a country rap.
Whose turn is it? Are we still on, or what's going on?
No, we're still on. We got to do... We're not done.
Hold on.
We're not done. There's more. We have some birthdays today. In addition to Chris Underwolf Dotson, we have some really good birthdays.
That's a good birthday.
And we have... Guess what? The Beatles did something today.
Who didn't know that?
Wait.
They do something every day.
At the end of North American tour, the Beatles played a charity concert at the Paramount Theater in New York City to 3,682 audience. Each paid $100 a ticket.
Wow.
That's expensive.
$64, that would be equivalent to probably $500.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
Yeah.
But this is a very cool... This guy is like one of the fathers of rock and roll. Buddy Holly released Peggy Sue on this day.
Wow. Yay.
And that's a...
Peggy Sue...
Definitely a pioneer of rock and roll.
He's one of the pioneers of rock and roll, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, we're not wearing these glasses.
And
the B side
was Every Day.
$882.47.
Wow.
Is what that would cost today.
Wow.
What would that be in cryptocurrency?
I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sure I can
Google it, but I don't know.
you're going to like this, Keith. On this day.
What is it in Bitcoin?
What is it in blowjobs?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it because I was going to say it.
That's why we get along so well. Keith, you're going to like this one.
Lay it on me.
In this day in 1968, Led Zeppelin, recording under the name of the Yardbirds, started recording their debut album at Olympic Studios. The album took only about 36 hours of studio time to complete. It cost around £1,782, with most of the tracks being recorded live in the studio with very few overdubs.
Hmm.
Righteous box, man.
I mean, that's how you do it, man. First album out of the gate, we're just going to play. Just set the mics up and just fucking play.
That's all they had to do, man, back in the day. That's what separates the men from the boys.
Now this next band here, guys.
Yes.
Led Zeppelin. I mean, I love Led Zeppelin. I love Black Sabbath.
I don't care what
Rush
you say. I love this band.
But this band might top all those bands.
Okay.
1969, this day, based on the comic book TV series Archie and His Friends, Archie started a 4-week run at number one on the U.S. singles charts with Sugar. It became the longest running one-hit wonder in the U.K. after spending 8 weeks at the top of the charts.
That's beautiful.
By cartoons.
That's beautiful.
That is amazing. The Archies, I mean, yeah, that's... I don't know what to... I'm speechless.
Shut my mouth. Oh, my God. Blind Faith started a 2-week run at number one in the UK chart with their self-titled debut album. The only release from Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch lineup also reached number one in the U.S. Their only U.K. gig was in Hyde Park on the 7th of July, 7th of June, 1969. Yeah, it was one of those super groups. And, like, they couldn't keep it together. You know, like we could. They played one gig. They got through. Ever been in a band, Keith, that only ever got through one gig?
Nah.
I mean,
there are bands that I played one gig with and wanted to quit, but I mean, the band didn't dissolve. I just didn't like either the players, the music, the money, the fuck, the list goes on.
Okay. On this day in 1970, Jim Morrison of The Doors was acquitted on all charges of lewd and lascivious.
I love that word.
Lascivious behavior. That was found guilty of exposing himself during a concert at the Dinner Key Auditorium in Coconut Grove a year and a half earlier.
Sorry.
At his trial at the Dade County Courthouse in Miami, Judge Goodman sentenced Morrison to 6 months hard labor and $500 fine for public exposure, 60 days hard labor for profanity. Woo! The sentence was appealed, but Morrison was never brought to trial as he would die in Paris, France, on July 3rd, 1971. Yeah, it seems like this Dade County Judge Goodman was just kind of had it in for long hairs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
hippie freaks.
Yeah. I'm going to teach him a lesson.
Yep.
It leaves you out.
We found a loophole.
Okay, so some cool birthdays.
I saw a couple on there.
Some cool birthdays.
Mm-hmm. You know, February 5th.
Yeah, Keith, do you know who Bobby Nunn is?
Nunn.
Yeah, I'm All or Nunn from the All or Nunn band.
He was in the, remember the Robins, and then the Coasters scored a U.S. Number one single in 58 with Yakety Yak.
Don't talk.
He wasn't in the All or Nunn band?
What was that?
Wasn't he in the All or Nunn band? That wasn't him, Bobby Nunn?
I don't think so.
Oh, sure. That's a different Bobby Nunn then.
Young Blood, Poison Ivy. Nunn died on November 5th, 1986. Do you know who Sweet Pea Atkinson is? Sweet
Pea. Yeah, he was that little bastard off of Popeye.
No. He's a great singer. He's on tons of records from the late 80s and early 90s as a background. Worked. He's on Bonnie Raitt's Nick of Time. He's on What Up Dog by Was Not Was. He's on tons and tons of albums. Born on the day in 1945. Chuck and John Panazzo, the twins.
There you go. That's right.
From Styx were born on this day. Ah. Yep. And John died, sadly, in 1996 in July. And Alana Curry from the female vocalist in the Thompson Twins.
Jesus Christ. Every time I turn on that goddamn Sirius XM, I have to cruise around the 80s channels and stuff.
We're
and then
him,
next thing you know, boom. What band's on every goddamn day? The Thompson Twins. So that's funny you mentioned that because every day I turn it on, it's like fate. I know I'm going to hear at least one Thompson Twins song. Who knew they had been that many hits?
Okay, so we have two here that I think Lily wants to talk about.
Oh, I don't have to talk about it. You can talk about it.
Well, first of all, born on this day in 1966 is the incomparable, one of the greatest rock guitarists to ever live, who I don't think it's enough to do. It's Nuno Bettencourt.
Yes.
Oh.
Born this day.
Oh,
yep.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nuno. And
the only one that's important in that twin combination
go.
Is Gunnar.
Who is it?
Matthew Gunnar Nelson.
You got to lay off them white claws, man.
Matthew Gunnar.
Are you serious? It's their birthday today?
Yes.
Along with Nuno Bettencourt. Yeah.
Which one's cuter, Lily?
Gunnar.
There you go.
Ben Shepherd from Soundgarden.
There you go.
And I think that's pretty much
good. Chris is in good company.
Wrap that up. So that all you, hey, check it out, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. You were born like with a lot of other cool people. So good for you, brother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good for you. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. As I spill bourbon on myself.
Oh, wow, that's
started,
twice now.
Started the
very
podcast.
Good, Lou. I mean, I don't know who's drunker tonight.
With the spilling of the alcohol.
I'm so with it. LudiniRockandRollCircus.com, LulumbartyMusic.com. There's all kind of cool giveaways. You get access to some free music and exclusive content. WolfsCustoms.online. Happy birthday once again to Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. RockRageRadio.com. Download the app. And speaking of RockRageRadio.com, Lily?
I have a show Thursdays called Hot Licks with Lily Six, 6 p.m. Eastern time. I do have some cool interviews, and there's a very cool one this week that I'm not going to announce yet because I want to have the interview first before I announce it, and okay. He doesn't cancel. So check that out. It's free.
No, it's Leif Garrett.
It's not Leif Garrett this time.
He's dreamy.
He is not. RockRageRadio.com.
Donnie or, Host.
No. Wow. No.
You know what would be cool if you interviewed a dead person?
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
We can arrange it. We can arrange it.
Yeah, the ratings will go through the roof.
It's a free app. We're just going to rockradio.com.
We can make that happen.
Oh my gosh.
We can happen. Who do you want to interview? Pick somebody's dead, and we'll do it.
Bowie.
Okay. Not a problem.
I mean, it can happen.
You can make that happen?
We can make that happen. Well, the Hawk is back, and you're going to be back, right? No, no more hooky.
No more hurricane-y?
As he maniacally laughs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm living life day to day. I will let you know, and I think that I could probably do at least, depending on you know schedules and things like that. We'll play it from week to week, man. I mean, that's the best I can. That's the best I can do. I appreciate you giving me the Monday thing. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. I'm trying.
All right, brother. That's all good. Anything, Pittsburgh, Kevin? Would you like to add before we wrap up today?
This weekend, I'll be peering in my bathroom, mopping the floor.
You were doing that last week.
Naked.
Well, a G-string. Well, I got to have some place to put the dollar bills.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
In your butthole.
So you're going to take the G-string off your guitar.
Uh-huh.
What the?
What?
This is what I have to deal with. What
do you That's mean? Like, could you imagine if you went to a strip club and literally they were wearing literal G-strings?
I mean, that's basically what they are.
Bass?
Keith is looking like, what the hell are you talking about?
Is it bass string or six string?
Does it really matter?
Oh, maybe.
It doesn't.
All right, guys. Hawk, good seeing you, brother.
Yeah, you know, I'm around and we'll see what's up. I'll be appearing at Friday and Saturday at different venues and making my debut with a new band on Saturday. We'll see.
Super exciting.
What are they called?
It is exciting because I love playing Megan Trainor songs for money. It's awesome. But anyway, that's
still
the horror thing. But Friday, I'll be at the Poorhouse with Ugly, and I'll actually have a good time and make no money.
So you're playing with Megan Trainor.
What's that?
You're playing with Megan Trainor?
No, I'm playing songs by her and other pop artists of that ilk, we'll say.
Okay. So it's
the only thing cool. The cool thing about that gig is I can use my electronics that I spend so much money on that I never use in other bands.
There you go.
So I mean, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
For what you guys get paid these days, man, you should show up with a fucking tambourine and be like, "This is it."
I was talking to a guy the other day who's been playing in New Orleans, and it's probably more than just New Orleans. He's been playing in New Orleans since this the '80s. He said he still makes the same amount of money in the '80s he does now.
Yep,
that's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
Said he made about on an average in a club, even on Bourbon Street or whatever he was playing, he made an average about $100 plus tips a night, and it's, to this day, that's what he makes. To this day, and I'm like, it's really fucking sad.
Wow, Jesus Christ!
Last Friday, I had this is a good one. I'll make it quick. The last Friday, we had a gig with Ugly, and the place closed and didn't even tell us. So luckily, nobody showed up. The place shut down. The business was just, I guess, in shambles, and they had to shut the place down. And they never even told us, so that was pretty good. We didn't show up then. That'd have been weird.
Oh, I thought you were playing the gig, and it like closed, and it,
no, the place that place what? Actually shut down, and then they didn't really. They didn't even tell nobody. I was like, that's pretty professional. No wonder you're shutting down, you dick.
They figured like, hey, you know, should we call the band? Nah, they'll figure out when they get here, and there's nobody here.
Uh-huh. The fucking lights are out.
All right, guys, have a great week. We'll catch you all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Peace.